grew up in a world of sports and playing sports. And, you know, whether you were in music coming up, whether you were in band or whatever, we have some awesome people that's got the talent to what they have back here for playing. And I can tell you that they can't just pick up an instrument without practicing. Amen. Just like in sports, we couldn't be able to do what we did unless we were able to practice and know which hand to put the glove on. Amen. And if you were playing baseball, you wasn't at a football game and all of these things. So you had to know. So the thing that I know from where I was at in sports, we always had this thing that we always heard, practice makes perfect. But then we learned that that wasn't really right. It's perfect practice makes perfect. If you practice wrong, you're going to play wrong. Amen. And so I just really believe that these seasons that come up, Passover, Pesach, Unleavened Bread, counting the Omer all the way into Shavuot, these are the Father's appointed times. And I just really, I think some of the things that's hitting me this year, even though it's hit me other years, is really to know that we don't need to take these seasons lightly. Life is busy. I want to tell you, I know my life is busy, and I know your life is busy, and things, we're here, we're there, we're going, we're doing, and I just don't want us to slide in like we're trying to beat a throw to home, trying to get into the season. I'd rather do a walk-off home run, amen, to where I can just jog the bases, and we know, instead of just trying to run it, hoping somebody's not going to try to get us out before we get there. So really and truly, preparation is everything. And I've learned that playing a game where you're only playing a game just for maybe an hour or 2 hours, you sort of practice longer than that, like 1 or 2 hours every day in the hot sun, and you beat up, and you're sweating, and you're about to pass out, and the coach is sitting there hollering at you, and all of the above. So my thing is this, that I have learned that preparation is everything for us to be able to. I say this every year. I want this to be the best Passover that we've ever had. We have had some awesome Pesachs. We've had some, the Spirit, last year, Kobe got saved at the Seder. That's what it's all about. Doug and Tara's testimony with Kobe. I mean, Kobe sitting there crying, and like Doug in his testimony, he's like, I got so many things going on, and here I've got a son being saved right here in front of my eyes at the most awesome time. And that's what I don't want us to overlook. I don't want us to get so busy in our life that it passes us by. Like, Passover is not a checkoff list, guys. It is not a checkoff list. It is our life. It speaks to us. It speaks to us because, and we're going to read these stories, and as we go through this teaching, I just want to just share with you, it ain't over until it's over. And we can get lackadaisical to the point to where we end up missing the big picture in the end. And that's what we have to guard against. What did Adam? He failed by not guarding and keeping the garden. Now look, he walked with Yahweh in the garden. Yahweh spoke to him. Adam, yes. And they communicated. But sin cost them that communication, that face-to-face. And sin will do that, and it'll ease in, and things look good. How many times did we go through the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It looked good to the eye. Man, it looked good for food. It was appealing. Sin is appealing. And the problem is no matter if you've been saved since you're 13 years old, and now you're almost 60 years old, it doesn't matter. Sin has not lost its appeal. And that's where we have to guard and keep. Because if we just sit here and say, well, you know what I'm saying. We just need to be vigilant every day. So I thought this was interesting. This was part of our Torah portion this week in Luke 5. And I'm going to pick up in verse 12. What's happening here is Peter and all of them, they're there, they're fishing. They fished all night long. This is in the first part of the chapter. Yeshua shows up and says, y'all need to go out and throw your net over here. And they were saying, man, we've been out here all night, you know. You don't even smell a fish. You don't look like a fisherman. Who are you? You know, giving us instructions. But yet they go out there and they do it, and they catch fish to where it starts to sink the boat. And then what does Peter do? He comes up and he recognizes he's a holy man. He don't know what kind of holy man he is. He recognized, he says, depart from me, I am not worthy. He knew something was happening here. He didn't know who Yeshua was. They had never met. This is their first meeting. But this meeting was not only a meeting, it was a choosing. You never know whenever you're going to meet, you're going to be chosen. And this is why we have to be so keen to be able to discern what's happening in our lives. So in verse 12, it says this, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, Master. Now, I want you to realize right here in verse 12, the 12 has not even been chosen yet. But yet here's somebody recognizing Yeshua for who he is, or something's happening. And I promise you, you probably got leprosy. You probably grabbed the first guy that's got something happening in his life. Amen? So you see here that Yeshua, this man falls on his face and he begged him. He says, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. And Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And he immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. In other words, the Torah gives you a command of go show yourself to the priest and you go do what you have to do for the cleaning of leprosy, because it kept them outside of the camp, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Now listen to this. But now even more, the report about him went abroad. Now, the report. What is this report? Do you know that for generations, Israel has been waiting for the Messiah? For generations, they have been waiting on Messiah. And now there's a report going out. What is happening? Could this be? And great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. Now, if you want to know what revival looks like, this is probably what revival would look like, okay? Now, before I get to the next verse, I just want you to know now, Yeshua's on the scene, miracles are happening, he hasn't chosen the 12 yet. Would you think now crowds are forming, reports are going out, do you think that Yeshua's probably a little busy? Do you think that he's probably a little busy? And then look what it says next. But he would withdraw to a desolate places and do what? Pray. Guys, if Yeshua needed to pray, don't you think we probably need to pray? Prayer is the preparation. Prayer is really the work. Praying is the work. Yeshua, and this is what hit me when I was listening to this Torah portion. I said, Yeshua, the son of Elohim. All he's got to do is call the angels and they'll come to his beckoning call. But he prayed. He found place. You go through the scriptures and sometimes I think we forget Yeshua prayed. He went to desolate places, not a place. All through his ministry, he's finding a place to where he's praying. A quiet place, away from the distractions, the crowds, all this happening. And you know what? He had to choose to make that happen. Because if he would have stayed around the crowds, they would have still, you got to be built back up. You got to be built back up. Prayer is the building up. It hit me in my prayer time. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that I'll go through seasons to where I'll pray, and I'll go through seasons where I find myself so busy, I'm just wore out, I just want to take a nap. You know what I mean? I just want to just chill. I want to try to empty my mind or whatever. But yet, that is not what we need to do. We have to discipline ourselves. That's what the word disciple comes from, is discipline. If we're disciples, we need to be disciplined. And our prayer life should be on the top of the list. Because I'm thinking about Yeshua, as powerful as he is being the son of Elohim, he needed to pray. I'm not going to read the scripture, but remember whenever the apostles, they tried to cast a demon out of these, and they couldn't do it? And he said, this comes with what? Fasting and prayer. So it shows you that Yeshua, he is our example. We need to follow this. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I just want to read a couple of things here. In these days, he went out to the mountain to do what? Pray. How long did he pray? All night as he continued to pray in Elohim. Now, this is the son of Elohim. And he's knowing he needs to commune with his father. Can you imagine being there in the foundations of the world? And yet you're still... And so what is it telling me? Prayer is talking to him. That's really what prayer is. He's communicating with the Father. Father, what do you have me to do? What's happening next? What's going on next? Because not only, I mean, he is as human as we are in this state. He's going through everything that we've gone through because he has got to go through everything to be our redemption. To be the one who's going to be that lamb. He's got to suffer like we suffer. He's got to do everything and yet not sin. He put himself in our place. And I can tell you, we owe it to him to honor him at Passover because he is our lamb. Amen. We owe it to him not to just slide into home. We owe it to him to pray, diligently pray, and knock it out of the park. Amen, that we will go in. And you know what? I hope and pray. The Father works in times and seasons, guys. And we need to know that we don't need to let this season pass up. There's people out here that need salvation. There's people out here that needs rededication. There's people, and not only here, but everywhere. There's times and seasons. I don't know how many times that, no matter if we're in Hebrew Roots or not, you will hear other people, other places, fathers doing things in their life parallel to what he's doing in our life. I hear it and see it all the time. So here he is, he goes out. Now it says this in verse 13, and when the day came and he called his disciples and chose from them 12, and then he named the apostles, Simon, who was named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of I think it's Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, the Judas, the son of James, and also the most famous guy, Judas Iscariot. And the ESV says this, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. But now, I want you to track with me here. This is the very, he's choosing the 12. Judas is on the list because the Father gave him Judas. I do not believe, my opinion, I don't believe that Yeshua knows which one of the 12 is a betrayer, if any of them. It's just my opinion. He chooses him because you're going to see that in this life, in this very moment in time, he's not a traitor right now. It says he became one. Right now, he's not. So, if he would have chose them at that very moment, that very time, now they hadn't done anything yet, okay? They'd just been chosen. And then he sit there and he had a little meeting, a little elders meeting, and sit there and said, you know, we're going to have a ministry, and it's going to be this length of time, and one of you is going to be a betrayer. But he didn't start this off this way. You know what, guys? When we start in this, we don't start out as a betrayer. And I will tell you something. Peter betrayed him just like Judas did. But Peter found a place of repentance where Judas didn't. So, in this, and in this walk, we're seeing that he's chosen these 12. Now let's go to Matthew 10. Starting in verse 1 in Matthew 10, it says, and he called to him, the same type story, the 12 disciples. Now, out of these 12 disciples, it said he gave them something. What did he give them? Authority. He gave them authority, all 12. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease. How many diseases? Every disease and every affliction. He gave all of the 12. And then he named who they were. just like I did before. And we get all the way down to verse 4, and then it says Judas Iscariot. Here it says who betrayed him. He's just saying this has already happened. He's saying this is who this guy is. So in verse 5, let's pick up there. These 12 Yeshua sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter into no town of the Samaritans, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This was their first mission of what they were doing. The Father was bringing back Israel as a whole. This was the message. And proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this is what he told them to do when they went out. All 12 did this. Okay? I want you to track with me. All 12. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They cleansed lepers. They cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. So I'm just painting the picture here. Judas was laying hands on people and they was recovering because he's one of the 12. Matthew 13. Got a handful of scriptures we're just going to hit just to paint this picture. Matthew 13:10. Think about this. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. To these 12, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. Was Judas part of that? Absolutely. He was part of that. To know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to the religious crowd, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the one who believes and all that, it wasn't given to the religious crowd, but it was given to them to know these secrets. Now let's go to Luke chapter 10. Verse 23 and 24. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Now listen at this next verse. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desire to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And I wrote a note here, and I said this, a privileged position does not necessarily secure genuine faith. Judas had the position of the 12. Now I want you to think about it. David, the kings, the prophets, Abraham, all of these desired to see Yeshua. They've been waiting for the Messiah to come. They're desiring this. Guys, they're desiring this. A lot of these prophets gave their lives up prophesying about things that would come. Jeremiah didn't have a good life. Jeremiah would go in there and bring in the message, and then they'd just throw him in jail. Keep him in jail. It took a foreign king, Nebuchadnezzar, to let him out. The thing about it is when a prophet came, he came with a message, usually to tell him, you need to listen and straighten up, because if you don't repent, then the Father's going to throw you into captivity. That is mercy and that is grace. Because if they would come, what was the king? Remember Hezekiah? He said, you fixing to die. Prophet came in here, you fixing to die. And Hezekiah gets on his face and he cries out. The prophet doesn't even get out the gate good. And he says, go back and tell Hezekiah he's got 15 more years. Okay. You know, and he goes back and he says, because of whatever, you know, you're doing it, you got 15 more years. What did Hezekiah do? He prayed. He humbled himself and he repented. And it moved the Father to have mercy and grace on him and to extend years to his life. Guys, that can happen to me and you. That can happen to me and you. But we have to do what we need to do to set ourselves up to be able to get some extension, to get that mercy, and to get that grace in our life. I thought in this story, and this is the reason why I wanted to start with this. If you think just because you've been a Christian for X amount of years, you see what I'm saying? When prophets and kings walk with Yeshua, seeing the miracles that were done, and I'm talking hundreds of miracles, it was not a common thing in that day for somebody to be raised from the dead. I can promise you it wasn't a common thing for a leper to be cleansed. They had leper colonies all over the place. These were people, they were cast out away from their families. They were alone. They were separated. When you got leprosy, you were pretty much done unless there was a miracle that happened. And you remember the story where there's 10 lepers. Yeshua's just walking. Yeshua, his mind is not on those 10. Yeshua's going about his business. He's not by the leper colony. He went by. They're crying out. And he's saying, we want to be clean. And what did he tell them? Go show yourself to the priest. And 10 went and one came back. Because it says while they were on their way, they wasn't clean when they were in the leper pen. They said, you know what? He said it, I'm gone. I'm not clean right now, but he said go, I'm going to the priest. I believe by the time I get there, this is going to be done. And that's faith, guys. That's faith. That's faith knowing. I know that a lot of us, we got some goofy sniffles going on in our life. We got goofy things that happen. But faith is that we got to, you know, Brother Hansi, whenever he was here, it is what we say out of our mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Now, I want you to understand something. I know that the charismatic movement, I think, misused a lot of the blab it and grab it and all of that. Because why? Because they were saying things knowing that they were not doing right. But when you're doing right, when you're doing these commandments, he tells us to cry out. He tells us to claim these things. These are my blessings. These are mine. Passover belongs to me. And when I do Passover and I do it like he says, but if I turn around and tell him, you know what? I just believe this. You know, I believe that I can grab the blessings, but I don't have to do what you tell me to do. Well, guess what? That ain't going to work, and it didn't work. I do believe this. I believe that during the time of the charismatic movement, it was designed to set us free. It set me free, and I'm going to tell you why it set me free, because when I was a Baptist, if you raised your hand, you was in trouble. Probably Worldwide Church of God, if you raised your hand and you were probably holiness. You know what I mean? So as a Baptist, we pretty much sat on our hands. Knowing sometimes you would get excited when evangelists, if you said amen, you know, everybody would look at you, starting from the oldest down. It's just the way it was. But we were able to raise our hands and just praise him and dance before him and praise him. But at the same time, I know that even when I went through, you know, the Assembly of God and charismatic and all that, a lot of times, and I'm just going to call it the way it is, a lot of times people do things because it's learned behavior. And that's the thing that bothered me the most is what is learned behavior. I know that if I go up there and he touches me, I got to fall. Because if I don't, everybody's going to say, you know, there's something wrong with you. No, my thing is this, faith, you get healed right where you're sitting. You don't need to come up here and there's no formula. But if you need to come to the altar because the Father is saying, pride, because you don't want nobody to know that you might have a problem. So that may be the reason why you don't, but you know what? Then you know what? You're not going to get healed sitting at your seat. Because the Father wants you up here so that you can show everybody, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I got issues like everybody else. And so there's pride. So what? There is no set formula. You know, I sit here and say, you know, whenever Yeshua healed the blind man, he went over here, he spit on the ground, made a little mud pie, popped it on his eyes. But how many times in Scripture do you see Yeshua do that? Once. Because he's saying this is not a formula. This is not how you heal the blind. Spit, make mud, and stick it in their eyes. That's not what it's about. It's by faith knowing who the healer is. And the Father sent the healer, which is Yeshua. That's why the lady, when she had the issue of blood, spent all she had all of these years. And she's sitting here saying, you know what? I spent all of my money. I've done everything I could do. The doctor's done all they could do. And guess what? It just ain't happening. But I know that in Psalms, it talks about there's going to be healing in his wings. There's prophets that prophesy that there's going to be a Savior and a Messiah coming that's going to have healing and power flowing from him. And you know what? Here he comes. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. But all I know is I believe that he's the one. Because you know what? She had nothing. She was at zero factor. She was at zero factor. Spent everything she had. And she said, you know what? And the crowd pushing on Yeshua. I mean, we're not talking about how he walked like this and they're all, you know, we're talking people. Have you ever been in a crowded and been in Jerusalem? There's some narrow streets, right? They're pushing on him and he's going, and she touches his tzitzit off the hem of his garment, his tallit, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What? They are crushing all of us. What do you mean, who touched you? How are we going to tell?" Because when they're talking about a crowd here, they're not talking about 20 people. They're talking hundreds and thousands of people. You know how you know that? Whenever they were hungry and he got tired and they needed to eat. How many men? 5,000 men and women and children. We're talking a crowd, guys. And this lady, when she pressed through, power left him. Power left him. The very power of the Holy Spirit. He felt that drain go from him, and that lady was healed. And then she had to say, "I was the one." And then what did he tell her? "Your faith made you whole." Your faith in the Scriptures, your faith in the Torah, your faith knowing of what it spoke about one to come. And you know what? They all missed it, except for her. But she got what she came for. How many people was in that crowd that didn't get what they needed to get? This is what this is about. Remember Peter and John, when they went into the temple after the Holy Spirit, they had already had the ministry. Yeshua's already, there was a lame man there. Said he'd been there at the gate since, what, birth or whatever. He'd been there for a long time. You know that Yeshua passed that guy up many times. But he never laid hands and he never healed him. Why? It just wasn't time. But then Peter and them went by when he was begging for alms. And that's when he said, "Silver and gold have I none. But what I have I give to you. In the name of Yeshua, take up your mat and you walk." He said, "I'm good with that." Jumped up, grabbed his mat. And think about this, guys. Now, you can help me here being a doctor, okay? If you sort of been lame all your life, you don't have any muscle. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Not only did he raise him up, he give him instant strength in his legs like he'd been walking all of his life. And he didn't walk out of there with a limp either. He walked out of there and he was able to leaping out of there. Yeah, at the standing hour of prayer, because he's never been able to stand at that hour of prayer and pray. Isn't that awesome? When the Father heals you, he heals you right. And this is the thing about, because I'm just telling you this, you don't go by the formulas of what you see in the Scripture. I know we would like to do that. I remember coming up, and I'm just like, man, I hope the Lord never tells me to spit on the ground and put something in somebody's eye. You know, because I'm liable to get two black eyes myself. You know what I mean? You better know if you do something eccentric, you better know that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do that. Amen? Amen? I'm just telling you, because there's been some Smith Wigglesworth, and there's been some people do some far out things that I've never done. But I'm just telling you that the Father, he will take the foolish things to confound the wise. He does these things. He just does. But I think he does for one main reason, to let you know it ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about him and what he's doing, because Yeshua himself said this. He said, darling, your faith made you whole. And we can't lose sight of that, because I'm telling you, that's what happens in these big time ministries that roll around. I can't get healed unless I go to Benny Hinn, or I can't get healed unless I go here. I can't get healed unless, what are you doing? Who's your faith in? You know, your faith, this is where we have to be, and we have to know that we live, is our faith is in Yahweh. Our faith is in Yeshua. Does he use men? Absolutely he uses men. And you know what? If you got enough faith to get there and be healed, hallelujah. I'm not against that. But what I'm telling you is this, is the Father is trying to get us to a place to where when we pray and cry out, he can do it for me and you in that living room. I can't get out and go somewhere. I can't fly across the world to go see somebody. You know what I mean? But that ain't what it's about. Yeshua, give us the Holy Spirit. It's Shavuot. That's the whole thing about this. He give us redemption, and then he give us the Holy Spirit. All in this same season. That's how powerful this season is for us. I believe this year. I believe that people is going to use people in this room to lay hands on people. Somebody's going to come into your life. Somebody's going to come into your life, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel led to do something that's outside of your comfort zone. But do it. Don't hesitate. Do it. And when you do it, you're going to see a miracle happen in somebody else's life. I believe that in Yeshua's name. I believe that. But here's the thing. The deal is we got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to know, hey, if it's in Walmart and they show up and they on aisle A13, yeah, that's right, 6:30, whatever it is. I'm just saying, just know that the people need deliverance. People need things in their life. People need. So guess what? I promise you, if you need it, you wouldn't be embarrassed. So don't be embarrassed if they need something and he's calling you to go do something, and just step out and do it. Now, I'm telling you that that ain't easy. But you know, if we're going to be like a Peter or like an apostle or a disciple, and we're going to be going and somebody's going to cry out to us and the Holy Spirit's going to hit you, now this guy's lame and he's going to hit you, would it be easier for me and you to give the man a quarter or to tell him, get up and walk? Most of us, we dig in our pocket and give a man a quarter. Because do we really believe? Amen? I'm just throwing this. This is the power that me and you have. Do you know that me and you have the same power? Because did he not say to these apostles and these disciples, I have given them how much authority? Guys, you got all authority. But things in our life can mess that up. If we're not where we need to be, this relationship's not where it needs to be, this authority ain't going to happen much. Amen? This is what, we should never have to be prepping for Passover. Amen? We should just be, but I'm just saying, I know, and the reason why I'm preaching to myself first, because I know how busy I can get. And I know how easy it is for me to waste time. I do. I waste time. Tammy will say amen to that. I'll waste time sometimes. Sometimes I just, but that's my problem. I got to get out of that, and I'm confessing that, and that's sin. I don't need to be wasting time. Because I'm telling you, I don't know how much longer we have. And the thing about it is it doesn't matter if Yeshua returns tomorrow or if he returns 100 years from now or however this works. He's placed us here. We have a mission today. And we only got one shot at this. And if we lollygag around and we do all of these things and we don't have things happening, I've read too many books to where authors would say, I wished I would have done things different. And I know that probably when I get to the end, I already know that. I wished I would have done some things different. I wish I would have took things more serious about the kingdom of Elohim. I am so excited about our young people here. I'm so excited about these kids. I'm telling you, whenever you can take, how old is Yoshi? I don't even know. They're five? Five. Quoting Psalms 23. Psalms 19. Okay, now, I ain't going to put nobody on the spot, but how many over 18 can quote Psalms 23? Don't raise your hand. There's about three or four. That's good. Y'all did. That's good.
My mother wasn't an Indian.
Okay, that's right. So you had to be from India to remember all them things. Well, you got two or three in here that can quote the whole psalm. What am I saying here? Are we believers? Do we love the Lord? And I'm just saying, you know, we got to do our part. If we want the power happening in our life, where in the world was I at? Oh, that's what I was saying. So a privileged position does not necessarily secure genuine faith, because guess what? It didn't with Judas Iscariot. Okay? All right, let's go to Matthew 7. 20-23, it says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone, now I want this to sink in. You know, let me just say this before I get to this part. I am so thankful that he's the Elohim of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. Amen. I am so thankful for that. And 10 chances, if that's what we have to have. But guys, this verse here, he's not speaking to a non-believer, okay, that I'm fixing to read. Because a non-believer that I know of is not casting out demons and laying hands on the sick and raising the dead in Yeshua's name, okay? I'm not saying that a doctor can't do these things and do an AED and shock somebody and bring them back to life. But usually when that happens, they don't say in Yeshua's name, burr. They don't usually do that. They usually say clear. That's usually the word they say. Okay. So with this said here, I just want this to sink in. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, and y'all know the scripture, Master or Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? Remember, Judas did. He was one of the 12. Matthew 10:8, remember? Heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. All 12 were doing that, plus others were doing that. Because I remembered other scriptures where the disciples were running around saying, Yeshua, these people are doing it. Let them go. They should be doing this. But yet, there's going to be people here, according to Matthew, that has a ministry with signs and wonders following that ministry, some form or fashion. And then he says this, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. And here's the thing. Let's go back to 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, or Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Because what? What does it say? But the one who does what? The will of the Father. This is the key word here. The will of the Father. It's about doing his Torah and being led by the Holy Spirit. It's doing his will. What he said to do, that's what this is about. Guys, to me, if we're in his will, we're in a relationship with him. We know him. Like Adam knew Eve. I will tell you that I know Yeshua. But I want Yeshua to say, I know Mark. Because that's what counts. What counts is by him saying, I know you. That's what counts. Because there's a lot of people saying, I know him. I know of him. I know Donald Trump, but I don't know him. Never shook his hand, but I know of him. Guys, I've never met Yeshua in the flesh. But I confess and I believe with all of my heart that he hung on that cross for my sins. And I believe every bit of this word. I don't understand all of this word. I don't understand why it had to go down like it did. But you know what? He didn't ask me my opinion. But he had to have a way to redeem his people because of sin. Because the wages of sin is death. This is what this season is so much about. Is about how he chose to give his own son for us. But what's so scary to me is this verse and this set of scriptures. To where people are going through the motions and they don't have a relationship. Guys, that's scary to me. It might not faze you, but it bothers me. I would hate to know that I would sit up here and spend my life ministering the gospel and then not have a relationship with him. That's a rude awakening. Because that's what he's talking about. And this is what this is about. Making our calling and election sure. To make sure that we know. That we know that we know that we're in a relationship with Yeshua. And we're in a relationship. And how do you know you're in that relationship? You will be doing the will of the Father. If you're not doing his will, he lines it out for us. If we're fighting him about what... And this is that was Judas's problem. Judas wanted him to rise up as King David and kick the Romans out and live happily ever after. What did Peter say whenever Yeshua was trying to tell him? Yeshua said, I'm going to have to die, son. And he said, far be it from you. You're not going to die. And what did he say? Get behind me, Satan. Hasatan, you get behind me. Because what? You don't know the will of the Father. You think like a mere man. Guys, you got to... So my thing is I'm not sitting here so pious thinking that I know everything. We read the scriptures. We walk these things out. We learn. And I know that by learning and doing and but I want, guys, relationship. You know, sometimes people, I just remember, I'm just going to say it like this. When we did the Sabbath years ago, we had Sabbath police. It was the most miserable time in my life. I had no joy when we did Shabbat. Because you know what? There was no relationship. What we did it was, it was a checkoff list. You know, we're sitting here and we're going right down through here. Now, obeying the scriptures, absolutely, 100%. And I will say you need to be particular about his will and about doing what he said to do. I'm not saying get lackadaisical on the Torah. I'm not saying that. But we approached it from the wrong angle. We approached it of, if we do this, he's obligated. See, in other words, it was like spitting on the ground. Every time we're going to heal somebody, we're going to spit on them. You know, that ain't what this was about. It wasn't about, you know, serving him. Shabbat was not a delight. But then when we came back to the Sabbath, because it became a delight, it became a thing to where, you know what? He invited me here today. He invited me. It's not that I'm going to go. You think of it as he is inviting. That's what he says in Leviticus 23. He invites us to his table. He invites us to these feasts. When he invites you to something, and Judas walked with Yeshua. Guys, do you know that it talks about somewhere in the scripture, and I don't know the verse, and it talked about the books couldn't contain all that happened. Do you know that sort of maybe Judas witnessed a lot of things? And do you know maybe sort of Judas laid hands on people and they were healed? And maybe sort of that he may have been part of a raising of the dead? The cleansing lepers, cleansing. Could you imagine all of that happening? And then all of a sudden, there was a mindset, and the mindset was mainly this. I'm not going to do the will of the Father. I want it to turn out this way. I want it to be this way. I don't want Yeshua dying. I want him to raise up like King David, and I want him to run these Romans out. But he didn't understand that Joseph had to come before David came. They didn't have to understand. He didn't understand that there had to be a sacrifice for sin. You can't go into the kingdom with all this garbage. There had to be, you know, there had to be a sacrifice made. Judas, sitting here not agreeing, and this is what happened to him, I believe. But they were doing all of these things in verse 22 in his name. And then he said in 23, he says, "Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of what? Lawlessness. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you." Let's go to Mark 14 and we'll be closing down. Mark chapter 14, verse 10. Now guys, I can't fathom what I'm going to read to you. But here's the deal. I want you to try to put yourself in the position, if you can, during this time. Because it's, look, we have opportunities in life to do what's right. But we also have opportunities in life, for whatever reason, to fall off the turnip truck. And I don't know why that happens with us, but sometimes we do. It's hard for me to fathom Judas Iscariot walking with this ministry and then fixing to do what he did. I can't fathom that. But I will tell you this. At the judgment of Yeshua, at the trial, which was at night, Peter was the only one that dared to try to go. And yet he denied him three times, cursed him. "I don't know the blankety blank blank man." That's really what he said. He cursed it. So guess what? You had Peter denied Judas. How does that happen when you believe? So what am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you, it's easy to believe while you're sitting in here and it's comfortable. And everybody else in here believes the same thing. But when your life depends on it, what are you going to say? When you're in the midst of an angry mob in a crowd, because I can't fathom this either. On the 10th day of Nisan, he's riding on a colt into the city and they're laying palm branches down. "Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest." He is a king. I mean, they're praising, they're acknowledging that Yeshua is the Messiah. And he's coming in on a donkey. 4 days later, they're saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Like, what went wrong? How do you go? So don't think, now these are people. Don't think we're not people. And don't think you can be saying praise 1 minute and cursing, crucifying the next. If they can find themselves in that situation, you can too. That's why we have to guard and keep. That's what this message is about. And I want to be able to, I don't want to fall asleep. Because you don't know. See, they're sitting here saying it, and all of a sudden the religious crowd, the people with the doctor degrees, the people who, the Pharisees, all these religious leaders come out and said, "No, he's a false prophet." You see what I'm saying? What do we believe? We see what he's done. We witness what he's done. But yet, they got all the robes. They got the positions. They got all the degrees. They've been to 42 institutions with doctorate degrees. Who are we? We're just lay people. We don't know. We see what he's doing. And what he's saying sounds good. And he's raising the dead. I know they're not doing that. But yet they have the Torah. And they're reading the scriptures from the scroll. And they got the little thing. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is we better know our faith is what I'm saying. Because in the end times, I don't care, in the end times, it says, if it be possible, even the elect can be deceived. 14:10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. Now we already know, at that little dinner they had, and that he had said, he gave, he said, whatever you got to do, go do quickly. Because it said Satan entered him. Guys, we need to guard ourselves that Satan doesn't have a place. Amen. You need to guard. And this is why I started off, if Yeshua needed to pray, don't you think we may need to pray? Yeshua goes and he prays and he prays and he gets, don't get busy. And I'm speaking to me. Don't get busy to where you're not praying. Because if you're not, you may give the opportunity to Satan to enter. And it says, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised them money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Verse 42. 14, it says, rise, let us go and see. My betrayer is at hand. This is Yeshua now. He knows what's happening. He knows who it is. He even had to, remember, the three at this moment here. I jumped down because it's end of the story in time. But he said this. He had three people up there with him. Peter, James, and John was up there with him. And what were they doing? Sleeping. He's praying, they're sleeping. He comes back. He's in anguish, and they're still asleep. He lets them sleep. I believe that story's in there for a reason. That story's in there is for me and you. It's for me and you to stay awake, because it's in the very darkest hour is when the enemy will come and try to derail your life. That's what he's going to do. Whenever Yeshua, after his 40 days of being led, he's led by the Holy Spirit to be fasting and praying, and then Satan, Hasatan, tempted him at the end of the 40 days. And then at the end of that temptation, he says, I'm going to leave for a more opportune time. Guys, this was that opportune time when he was vulnerable, when he's sitting in the garden, because he said this, if this cup can be passed from me. Yeshua is just as real as me and you. I know that's hard to understand, and I know I can't understand it, but he is in anguish. If he's in anguish where the stress on him is so bad that he's bleeding, that blood is dropping off from him through his pores, that's sort of high stress. I've never quite made that point yet. But you're talking about this, and the disciples, because you know what? The disciples walked with him. And I know this. If I was walking with Yeshua, I would have done the same thing. Because I would have said, as long as he's here, I ain't got a problem. But guess what? He wasn't fixing to be there with them the whole time. And that's what he was trying to explain to them. Because at the moment that they bound him, what happened to the disciples? They scattered like lights turned on with the roaches. They scattered. Because what? They didn't understand the will of the Father. They were all just as vulnerable as Judas was vulnerable. Trying to get something in our minds. If we're not prayed up and if we don't know this word, you're vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. We're vulnerable to something to come in, a wind of doctrine to come in and turn you to another belief and turn you a different path. I've seen people that, you know the bad thing about Hebrew Roots, if there's a bad thing, and there is one bad thing for sure, people's come into Hebrew Roots and denied Yeshua. They've come in here and died Well, hello. The whole reason why we're here is because of Yeshua. And they come in here and they denied him because of the Torah. We watched an excellent film the other day, a little movie. You know what broke my heart? Three or four professors got, you could roll their degrees out from here to that door. And you know what? Couldn't reconcile a few years. And turned around and denied, said, I'm not atheist, he said, but I don't think there's a God. He's agnostic. I can't understand that. I mean, here's the thing, guys, you got to understand it's by faith. It's by faith. You better know that there's if you gotta see something on a wall somewhere, you're gonna have problems, is all I'm saying. There's faith in you. This word, I have to believe, if I'm going to be a believer, I got to believe that what's in this book is true. Whether I find something or not, whether I dig up a cup or not, I got to know this is where my faith is on this. I have to know if the book of, you know, they people argue, does this book belong or this book not belong? I don't know. The thing about it is the book's in here. If the book is in here, if Esther's in there, it's in there for a reason. I think the Father can lead people to do what they need to do to put the words in there. Because guess what? If he can't, we're all doomed. We're all in trouble. If we don't have enough faith to where the Father can put in here, and you know what? Let's just say that you don't understand something. You know what? We need more revelation. We need more knowledge of maybe time. We need something to help us understand. But there's enough in there for us to do what's right and for us to walk it out. Amen? So in this, it says, immediately while they were still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them the sign, the one I will kiss is the man. Now I'm like, my goodness, you ought to know who Yeshua is by now. Y'all been trying to kill the man for 3-something years, and now you got to have somebody to kiss him to make sure you get the right one. I know they didn't all look alike. He said, but the man I kiss, he's the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. Now this is Judas telling them that. I don't understand it. And when he came and when he went up to him at once and he said, Rabbi, teacher, my beloved teacher. And he kissed him. And they led him and they laid hands on him and they seized him. In Matthew 27:3-5, I'm not going to read it, but Judas realized that he did wrong. And he went back and he took the money back and they said, what is that to us? And he went out and he hanged himself. My thing is this, how can someone get there? The answer is, I don't want to know. But I can tell, if we're not praying, and if we're not guarding and keeping, and if we just think that life is good and everything's great and rosy, these times and seasons are here for us to take inventory of ourselves, and that's what my job is to help us take inventory of ourselves to make sure we're ready. You got something? Okay, get a mic. So let me say this, as Steve's going to come up here and clarify everything I said. No, I know he's going to have some good insight. But here's the thing for me. Guys, I want this to be the best Passover we've ever had. But do you know what? This even more than that, I don't want to do Passover after Passover after Passover. And when I'm standing before the judgment seat of Messiah, or the great white throne judgment, and I find myself in the wrong line because I'm supposed to be in this line over here. So what I'm saying is this, if it happened to Judas, it can happen to anybody, is what I'm trying to say. And I just want us to be ready, prepared, enjoy our salvation, love him. But these stories are in here for a reason. And I don't know. You know, we talked about Samson. What happened to him and all of that. But he made it in though. But he went a long way to get there. But anyway, Steve.
So he was talking about Judas and how do you get there when you walk with the Messiah day by day. And I think the scriptures give us a clue. Whenever Mary came and broke the expensive ointment, and Judas was upset about her breaking the ointment. And he said, this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. But he said this not because he cared about the ointment, but because he was holding the purse and his hand was in the bag.
Amen.
And so here Judas is a thief, and so he's sowing these seeds of disintegration into his life and not repenting for being a thief. And the whole thing with what he did then was about money. And so his whole purpose for betraying the Messiah, me personally, this is my opinion, but I think Judas thought, because he saw all the miracles, I don't think that he thought that him betraying the Messiah would turn out like it did.
No, absolutely not.
I think he thought he was going to get away with 30 pieces of silver, and the Messiah was going to show up in power, and he was just helping things along. and he was going to keep the money, but the Messiah was going to set up his kingdom and rule and reign. But the thing is, what we've got to understand is we've got to understand that breaking commandments does not help the Father set up his kingdom.
Amen.
Keeping commandments, demonstrating faithfulness,
amen,
that's what he wants us to do. And that's what caused Judas to have these seeds of disintegration and rot sown into his life that caused him to turn. It was something that was tangible that he could easily have confessed and changed and gotten into the open, would have kept him on track.
Amen.